Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Is there anything you do just for the sake of it, even if it's something you're not that good at? Karen Walrond thinks you should. She's the author of In Defense of Dabbling. Good afternoon, Karen.
Oh, hi. It's nice to be here.
Yeah, it's weird when they say that on the radio because you're not actually here. Were you always good at dabbling, or was this something you, because you know the way there's always a pressure on us that if you take up golf or woodworking or whatever, that, you know, you have to be good at it.
Yeah, no, I think I am deeply mediocre at everything. So I would say I am very good at dabbling. It has been something that I've done all my life, and I was really interested in the fact that a lot of people sort of are hesitant to do things, try new things for fear of looking like a fool. And so that's really why I wrote the book, is I want to explore what keeps us from doing that sort of thing, because I think it's a self-transcendent way to live.
Yeah, and so what does keep us from doing that? Is it because we now have to put these things on social media, so everyone's going to see the crappy piece of clothing you just made?
I think that's part of it, honestly. I think there is this sort of pressure that everything we do must be shown and shared. And so many people do things well that we feel sort of hesitant to share what we're not doing well. But I think there's a lot of other stuff. I think there's also, honestly, capitalism. I think that we have sort of been socialized to think that if it's not producing money or if it's not productive, then it's not worth doing. And I think that's especially true as we get older. I think kids get it, right? That play is a really important part of development. But we sort of forget that as we become older and we have responsibilities and jobs, and things to do just for fun feel a bit trifling or insignificant. And I would argue that it's actually the opposite.
Yeah, that's so interesting, because you're right in the sense that the idea of adults and playing, obviously it's socialized out of us to play, but also that sense that it's a waste of time. And there's, you know, other mortgage paying things you should be doing.
Exactly right. And I believe that when you have an activity that you can keep going back to that you do just because you love it, not because of productivity or perfectionism or profit, that sort of thing is so self-compassionate. It's such a way to sort of return yourself back to yourself, that when you return to the mortgage paying and the parenting and the partnering and the life that can be really, really draining, you come back more re-energized. And, you know, there's a reason why we call it recreation. It's recreation, right? Like, it helps us go back into our world more focused and more ready to tackle the challenges of life.
Yeah. And the word amateur now is kind of an insult.
Yeah, absolutely. It's sort of like, that's an amateur move. You know, it's considered like you're not a pro. Why aren't you a pro? But that's not where it came from. It actually means, in the Latin, it means one who loves, and who couldn't use more lovers in the world?
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. Now, but that doesn't mean that if you, you know, take up a particular recreation and you don't really like it, you don't have to stick with it. You can move on to something else, presumably.
Absolutely. I keep telling people this is not supposed to feel like a chore. The dabbling is what you do to figure out what is the thing that you just can't wait to go back to, right? My husband is a mountain biker, and if he doesn't mountain bike after a few days, he gets really cranky, right? Like, I will beg him, please go back on your bike. You need to go do that. That's the kind of thing we're looking for, is the thing that we just can't wait to get back to doing.
Yeah. Is your husband good at mountain biking?
He actually is pretty good. He's been doing it for a long time. But
you know, that's so annoying.
But that's the thing, though. What's really interesting is that when you start something and you're really bad at it, but you love it, like, if you keep going back to it, you are necessarily going to get better at it, right? You may not be winning awards at it, but the idea of evolving as you develop skills in whatever it is you're doing, that's really the joy, right? Like, it's watching how you change and watching how you evolve. You don't have to do it to a perfectionist state in order to reap the benefits of just watching yourself change as you do something really lovely.
From that point of view, then, is it better if it's something you can do by yourself so you can avoid the judgments of others? Because if you're doing a pottery class, someone's always going to be the best at it.
Well, I mean, actually, it's funny you bring up pottery because that is the thing that has sort of captured me since writing this book. You know, I'm an introvert, so I tended to choose things in the book that I did in a solitary way. But one of the things that I think is really good about intentional amateurism is that if you can do it in connection with someone, so doing something like a team sport, if that's your thing, or doing something with someone that maybe neither of you are very good at can actually be quite fun, right? Because you can sort of debrief. What happened when you failed? How funny was it? Or what you can cheer each other on when all of a sudden you up-level a skill. So I'm not necessarily alone. I think there are all kinds of different ways in order to practice amateurism.
Yeah. Have you given up a lot of things then?
I tried, you know, the book is written around 7 attributes of intentional amateurism, which I came up with specifically so that I did not fall into perfectionism. So I thought if I could do things like explore curiosity or mindfulness or self-compassion, these 7 things, that I would stay away from like trying to do my very, very best and instead stay in the moment. And so I did something for each of those things, and some of them stuck. Some of them were really fun, but some of them were, this is not my thing. I'm kind of bored by this. And so, yes, for sure, I gave up some stuff.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be necessarily something you'd even call a pastime, like just going for a walk.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's part of the, you know, with the mountain biking thing that my husband does, like one of the benefits he does, besides the fact that it's an athletic pursuit, is he gets to be out in nature, right? And he gets to access wonder and awe, which is one of the 7 attributes. He can follow his curiosity. He can play with his comfort zone, right? Like do something that's a little bit more daring than maybe he's done in the past. And all of those things helps us develop, right? And makes us more daring in life and makes us more compassionate and curious in life. And so, yeah, for sure. It's just something that you really, really love doing. It doesn't have to be necessarily something you skill up at. It's just something that you go because it feels really good and it's fun for you.
Yeah. Okay. But as long as you don't become completely addictive about it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think my husband would probably argue that my pottery has become a bit of an addiction. So,
oh, has it? Yeah,
it's really been something that, you know, just like he is with mountain biking and really he has to get back. If I go too long without going to my community pottery, I'm like, okay, I'm really itching to get on the wheel again. And I think, you know, I think it's, as addictions go, it's a pretty healthy one, right? Like if it's something that's allowing you to stay connected to curiosity and mindfulness and self-compassion, I'm all for it, right? Yeah. I think that's a good thing.
Though, is there a danger with being too good at something? For instance, you get to the point where people are, saying, I want you to make a piece of pottery for me to these specifications, or, you know, suddenly you're getting offers to set up an online business and that kind of stuff.
Actually, that is the problem, right? Like, as you skill up, people will sort of move you to be like, you should make this, you should make profit from this, right? And I've been very, very clear with people. I'm like, I don't do this. I'll gift you a piece if I make something and I want to give it to you. But I don't take commissions. Like, this is not about you. This is about me. Because I feel like once you start to do something for somebody else's criticism, for their critical eye, it becomes something totally different. Now, that's not to say that your hobby shouldn't turn into a job if that's what you want it to do. But I would argue that if you do that, then you need another hobby, right? You need something that's just for you.
Yeah. When people say my job is my hobby, no, it's not. It's your job. You might like it, but it's still your job.
Absolutely. And I always tell people, like, your job is not what makes you interesting. Your hobbies do. And the reason I say that is because, you know, there's an element of it, of your job, where you're doing that to, you know, to pay the bills, to put a roof over your head. But I'm really interested in what is the thing you do because there's no other reason to do it, but it's fun. There's something about it that really turns you on. That's very interesting to me.
Yeah. Though it's rare enough, if you meet a person for the first time, they will say, what are your hobbies?
They're more inclined
to say, what do you do for a living?
Absolutely. And what a pity, don't you think? I think it'd be really interesting to do, like, what do you do when you're not at work? What are the things that turn you on? That to me tells me a lot more about you than what you've been educated to do, or you know, I think it's great. And I think there's people who have a cool job. Like, there's people who have very, very cool jobs. But what's really interesting to me is, like, what are you doing when you're not at work?
Yeah, indeed. Because if you meet someone and they say, I'm an accountant, and you go, what do you do when you're not being an accountant? I drink vodka. That's a completely different story than you're left with, I would have thought. Karen,
absolutely.
Karen, thanks a million for speaking with us today. That was Karen Walran there. The name of her book is In Defense of Dabbling.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.